May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. My dear friends, today we come to one of the most important passages in all of Scripture, the closing words of the Gospel of Matthew, often called the Great Commission. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And then Jesus gives this wonderful promise. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." These, my dear friends, are not merely the last words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. They are the so-called marching orders of the church. Not only for the priest, not only for missionaries abroad, not only for younger Christians, but for the whole church, including faithful Anglican congregation like yours, who have worshiped, prayed, served, and witnessed in this place for decades. Matthew, the evangelist, tells us the disciples gathered on a mountain in Galilee. Mountains, as we all know in the Bible, are places of revelation. Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. Elijah encountered God on Mount Horeb. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And now on another mountain, the risen Christ gathers his disciples and entrusts them with the mission of the world. But there is a fascinating detail in verse 17. "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Even here, after the resurrection, some still struggled. Isn't this comforting, my dear friends? The gospel is very honest about human weakness. The church has never been built upon the perfect certainty, but built upon imperfect people like you and me, learning to trust a perfect Savior. One preacher joked that if the disciples had formed a parish council, Peter would speak too quickly. Thomas would ask too many questions. John would become emotional during every meeting. And Judas, well, would not be in charge of the finances anymore. And yet, Jesus still chose them. And this should encourage every one of us here. Because discipleship does not begin with perfection. It begins with responding to Jesus. In the first century, this command would have sounded shocking. The Jewish people understood themselves as God's covenant people, and many expected the Messiah's work to remain centered within Israel. But Jesus says, "Make disciples of all nations." The gospel was never meant to stay in just one place. From Galilee to Rome, from Jerusalem to Africa, from Europe to Australia, from ancient cathedrals to small suburban parishes like this. The gospel moves outward. And this is important for us to remember today, because churches that have existed for many decades can sometimes become tempted to focus only inwardly, maintaining buildings, preserving traditions, surviving difficult seasons. Now, traditions matter. Anglicanism treasures beautiful liturgy, thoughtful theology, prayerful worship, and continuity with the historic church. But Jesus did not say, go therefore and maintain comfortable routines. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. The church is not a museum for saints. It is a mission outpost for the gospel. Notice Jesus gives three connected tasks here in the gospel this morning. First, mission, go. Mission means crossing boundaries with the love of Christ. For some Christians, that means overseas mission work. For others, it means just crossing the street to speak kindly to a lonely neighbor. Mission begins wherever God has placed us. I repeat, mission begins wherever God has placed us. There's a wonderful Australian quality called mateship. Mateship. Australians rally around one another during bushfires, floods, droughts, and hardship. We saw it so clearly during the devastating bushfire of 2019 and the last one, 2020. Communities opened halls, churches prepared meals, volunteers traveled long distances, and strangers helped strangers. That spirit reflects something deeply Christian. The gospel moves us outward towards others. The church at its best says, you are not alone. We're here with you. We journey with you. Second task of the gospel today is evangelism. Jesus says, make disciples, after saying go, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Evangelism is sometimes misunderstood. People imagine standing on street corners shouting at strangers with their placards. Yeah, right? But biblical evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus with truth, with humility, and with love. It is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And many Australians today are spiritually hungry. Beneath the busyness and humor and independence, many people long for meaning, long for forgiveness, hope, and healing. The famous author C.S. Lewis once said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. That is why evangelism matters. If Christ truly rose from the dead, then this is the greatest news the world could ever hear. A little girl once asked her grandfather after church, Grandpa, what is a missionary? And the grandfather replied, a missionary is someone who leaves home and tells people about Jesus. The little girl thought carefully and said, then mom must be a missionary because she talks about Jesus to everyone at Woolworths. And perhaps that little girl was onto something. Evangelism often happens through ordinary conversations, through quiet kindness, invitations to church, listening ears, and faithful friendships. And lastly, discipleship. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, then teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Notice Jesus did not merely say, make converts. He said, make disciples. A disciple is someone who continually learns to follow Jesus in every day. Discipleship is lifelong. After decades of worship, prayer, Bible study, and Christian service, we, my dear friends, are still learning what it means to follow Christ more faithfully. And here is where faithful older congregations have enormous value. You carry wisdom that younger generations desperately need. You know how to persevere through grief. You know how to remain faithful through changing times. You know how to pray when life becomes difficult. The world often idolizes novelty, but the church also needs faithful endurance. Many of you would remember the extraordinary rescue of the Chilean miners in 2010, the so-called 2010 Copiapo mining accident. 33 miners were trapped underground for 69 days. Not one day, not 2 days, but 69 days. For a number of weeks, their families waited anxiously while rescue teams drilled through solid rocks. And when contact was finally made, the message sent upward was simple and unforgettable. "We are well in the refuge, the 33. The entire world celebrated their rescue. Why? Because rescue stories touch something deep within the human heart. I was the squadron chaplain for the search and rescue squadron in air base in Canada. And when our team would arrive in the middle of the night and then in the early morning, there will be a briefing in the morning and everybody will be celebrating after their rescue mission the previous night. So, rescue stories touch something deep within the human heart. And Christianity is ultimately a rescue story. Humanity trapped in sin and death, and Christ entering our darkness. Christ making a way to life and hope. And now the church is called to participate in that rescue mission, not with arrogance, but with compassion, because people matter to God. And lastly, before giving the commission, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." In the Roman Empire, Caesar claimed authority. Kings claim authority. Armies claim authority. But the risen Christ declares ultimate authority belongs to him. And then comes the promise the disciples desperately needed. "I am with you always." My dear friends, the mission of the church is not sustained by the human strength alone, not by budgets alone, not by programs alone, not even by the priest alone. The church lives by the presence of Christ. And that matters especially for a church like this that served faithfully for many years. Sometimes you may wonder, are we still making a difference? Are we still making a difference? You know the answer. The answer is yes. Every prayer matters. Every hymn matters. Every welcome at the door of the church matters. Every act of kindness matters. Every conversation about faith matters. Seeds planted faithfully over decades here often bear fruit long after we can see it. Friends, the Great Commission is not only about going far away. It is about living faithfully where Christ has placed us today. It is about becoming disciples who make disciples. It is about bearing witness through worship, service, hospitality, prayer, generosity, and love. And above all, it is about trusting the promise of Jesus. I am with you always. Yes, Christ is still with His church, still calling disciples, still transforming lives, still sending His people into the world. So, may we continue with courage, with humility, and with joy to live the mission of Christ in this generation. Amen.